I'm thankful for those beautiful offerings. I'm thankful that each one of you has made the effort to be here this morning. And I know that your desire is to know the Lord's will in your life and to be led by His Word and by His Spirit. And the Lord has given us the privilege of having men directed by His Spirit to open to us the Scriptures. And I pray that you would invite these things into your heart this hour, and that you would offer a prayer in your heart for my brother Don, that he would truly be inspired by the Lord's Holy Spirit. Brother Don Case.
Thank you, Dan, and I would wish to thank those who offered the scripture reading and the two songs, and especially our brother Gary in his opening remarks at Sunday school. It was the best five-minute synopsis of my sermon that we could ever hope to have. I'm sorry that there were so few here. It makes me feel obligated to go ahead and give you the long version. I also want to greet each of you here in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm hoping that I can get things to work. Wish each of you mothers here a happy Mother's Day. I would like to give a tribute to our mothers, but I also want to give us lessons that we can take home from our mothers. I feel it a responsibility to, as a minister of God standing before you, to step on each of your toes. If I fail to do so and make you feel a little uncomfortable, then I feel like I failed my responsibilities. For we are to improve our time while here upon this earth. And I know that for me, I need motivation and pain, whether it's physical pain or whether it's spiritual discomfort, is a very good motivator. And so I don't want to step too hard, but I do want to give you some thought to take home. I'd like to begin where Gary began in the Exodus 20, verse 12. It is the fifth commandment that God gave Moses. The first three commandments were directly dealing with our relation to God. It was, you shall to serve the Lord your God. It's not the way it was worded, I apologize. But He is a jealous God, and we're not to have any gods before Him. And so we're not to make any engraven images to Him or of Him to worship. We are not to take the Lord's name in vain. The fourth commandment was to keep the Sabbath holy, because God hallowed that day. And so it's in relationship to God that we come today. The fifth commandment was the first in dealing with humankind, And it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It is a commandment to honor our fathers and mothers. Today we honor our mother, and rightfully so. But why did that rank so high in the commandments? That it's the number one commandment for our relationships between mankind. I think there is an answer, and I hope at the end you will agree with me that there is a reason for it to be very high. Honor given from the heart is in response to the unselfish action of the honoree. Our mothers have done things that were selfless because they loved us. I am going to make some large steps in my thinking, and I'm going to make some tight bends, and so it's going to be difficult for you to understand where my logic is taking us, but I think that that you stay with me, and I hopefully you'll understand. I'm going to go back to the curse that was given to women at the fall of mankind to begin. Genesis 3, verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. In our day and our society, it is a very determined decision that a woman makes to bring forth a child. We have given her the options of abortion. Very selfish actions that avoid this pain and suffering that women take in bringing us here upon the earth. But thank goodness our mothers chose to bring forth us through suffering. I've never gone through that, so I can't relate. But we know that throughout Scripture it talks about the travail of delivery. It is difficult. It places the mother's life on the line. In fact, it's not been too many years. We had several prayer requests for mothers who were desperately needing God's blessing that they might deliver their child without sacrificing their own. So our mothers made a choice for us through suffering, through travail. I'm going to take one of those real large steps and a little bend here, but I would like to read from Isaiah 53, starting with verse 1. This relates very much to the beautiful song given by Megan this morning. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the great travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. This was the mission of Jesus Christ, to go through much travail, that we might be delivered from sin. I would now like to take another large step and a little bit of a turn. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now that was a commandment to you and me. And I don't see a lot of travail and a lot of struggle. But I've talked about our mothers delivering us with travail. I've read where Christ delivered us through travail. And here is telling us to go into the world to deliver them from ignorance. But no travail. Revelations 20, verse 4. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. There is suffering. There is travail that to be done. I have a book at home that I'm reading. It's a devotional. And each day it gives what happened on that day in Christian history. And I'm shocked at the number of mothers with infants who were burned at the stake, who gave willingly of their life, and then were crushed by the evil of mankind. Are we no different? Do I feel pain from reaching out with the Scripture and with the knowledge of Jesus Christ? I don't. And it makes me wonder, am I not doing it? Why am I so free to have all the comforts of life? I fear that it's because I fail in that commandment to go into all the world and preach and teach and baptize. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That is our goal. But if I'm not taking care of my responsibilities, will I miss my goal? Indeed, we do have some suffering and some pain when we share our truth that God has been so good to us to share with us. We have the pain of rejection sometimes. We have the discomfort of being mocked and called fools. But it's very minor. I have had a terrific ease in delivery because I live in a free country. But I fear that it might not always be so. And if it does change, and if persecution does come, it's what we have determined before times, whether we can stand the travail of delivery of that word of God. So in summary of those scriptures, mothers deliver us by birth through travail. Christ delivered us from sin through travail. We are to deliver others from ignorance of God and from his word through travail. I'd like now to go to Alma 26, verse 56. Now they never had fought, yet they did not fear death. And they did think more upon the liberty of their fathers than they did upon their lives. Yea, they had been taught by their mothers that if they did not doubt, that God would deliver them. And they rehearsed unto me the words of their mothers, saying, we do not doubt our mothers knew. Now, we all know the story. These young men were not trained up to be fighters. They were trained to live a Christian life. Their fathers had made a vow not to ever take up arms. And so these young men had never understood the works of the horrible works of war. And yet, they were not afraid of it. Why? Because their mothers had taught them. As Jose read, Timothy was blessed with a mother and a grandmother that taught him the way. And so when the task came, they were prepared and ready. Our mothers have taught us little by little. From the very beginning of our first steps, they taught us how to live our life. They were examples to us. Proverbs 1, verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace upon thy head and chains about thy neck. Sometimes mothers lay down the law, but it's out of love. And always they give us rules for living, because that's what mothers do. Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandments, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. What our parents do for us is an example of how we are to live our lives. Taking one of those large steps, I'd like to read Isaiah 28, verse 9. Who shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line. Line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak unto this people. Now, I don't know totally what Isaiah was going towards, but I know that God has given us a little bit at a time. He doesn't dump the whole load on us because none of us are able to withstand. But he gives us what he knows that we can understand and bear up under. And he is constantly drawing us down that path to his reward of eternal life if we will take the steps that he gives us, if we will learn the lessons, if we will pay particular attention to the lines and the precepts that he gives us. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him who judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. For we were all sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our soul. That was 1 Peter 2nd chapter, verse 21. Here, Peter is describing how Christ taught. He not only gave us his word, but he set us an example. Mothers give us the law, but they also teach with example. We catch so much more from their walk than we do from what they say. Yeah. I'm going to go on to 1 Timothy 4, verse 11. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Paul is telling Timothy, and we are to do the same, that we are to live our lives according to Scripture so that we can set an example to the unbeliever. So we teach with word, and we teach with example. So a summary. Mothers, teach your children a little at a time and by example with great patience. Christ teaches us a little at a time and by example and with great patience. And we are to teach others a little at a time by example and with great patience. Take another large step here. Genesis 2, verse 23. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." What I am trying to do is take some of the things that mothers do that are paramount. They give us birth. They nurture and teach us, but they also give us freedom. Here it says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife." We each have to leave our parents. Cut the strings, but mothers and fathers have to cut the strings as well. And mothers by nature, though they don't like it, it's through travail. But they know that they need to release their children so that they can keep this commandment that the man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. I'm going to take 2 Nephi chapter 1, verse 116. "And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time that he might redeem the children of men from the fall. And because they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil, to act for themselves and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at the great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given. Wherefore, men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto man. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or to choose captivity and devil according to the captivity and power of the devil. For he seeketh that all men might be miserable like unto himself." In that scripture, I don't know that I can bring it out, but Christ paid a significant price so that we could have freedom. Freedom to choose. And that's totally in opposition to what Satan wants to do. He wants to bind you. He wants to take away your freedoms. And if we step into sin, that's exactly what we do. We become in bondage to sin, whether it's due to drugs and alcohol, or whether it's due to forbidden passions, or whether it's due to lust of things and material things. Whatever that sin is, it binds us. And that is Satan's tool, that we become owned by our sin. But Christ died so that we can have freedom. It is in such opposition. But our mothers gave us an example of freeing us. Christ died and lived his life. And was really from the dead so that we can have our freedoms. John 12, verse 44. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Christ came and set us an example. And he came and he did not judge the world. He was willing to forgive those who crucified him. He rejected the judgment of the Pharisees upon the woman caught in adultery. It was not the time or the place for judgment to take place. And so he set us free to make our choice. Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. We are to be nurturers and help to proclaim the freedoms that people have, not their judge. Summary. Mothers, with concern and on bended knee, give their children freedom as they mature. Christ paid dearly to give us freedom to choose righteousness or iniquity. We must give others freedom without our judgment and without our control. So in conclusion, we are to honor our mothers for reflecting Jesus Christ to us and setting an example how to live by the love that they show to us. That is why we should honor our mothers and our fathers. Because without them, we would have a very poor image of what Jesus Christ and our God really are. But they somehow, by God's design, love us. Even though we are ornery, even though we give our mothers and fathers grief, they love us. They pour their heart and their soul into us. And so, we wish each mother a happy Mother's Day. As a tribute to mothers, I'd like to read a poem called More Than a Mother. It's by Carrie Keshmeri. When God set the world in place, when he hung the stars up in space, when he made the land and the sea, then he made you and me. He sat back and saw all that was good. He saw things to be as they should. Just one more blessing he had in store. He created a mother, but whatever for? He knew a mother would have a special place to shine his reflection on his child, on her child's face. A mother will walk the extra mile to see her children smile. She'll work her fingers to the bone to make a house into a home. A mother is there to teach and guide. A mother will stay right by your side. She'll be there through your pain and strife. She'll stay constant in your life. A mother will lend a helping hand until you have strength to stand. She'll pick you up when you are down. When you need a friend, she'll stick around. A mother is one who listens well, will keep her word, will never tell. A mother never pokes or pries, but stands quietly by your side, giving you the strength you need encouraging you to succeed. A mother is one who can be strong when you need someone to lean on. You're more than a mother to me. A reflection of him in your face I see. I know, I love that knows no boundaries. I'm glad that you chose to be all this and more to me. You share a love that knows no end. You're more than my mother. You're my friend. And to my own mother, I want to say thank you for teaching us with example, caring for us, but most of all, for your example of faith and your love for us. For us, your children, for us, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and many others whom you have influenced with your life. I love you. And happy Mother's Day.